It is wonderful to be here, and thank you very much for having me. I'm looking forward to learning a lot of Torah over the next couple of days. This is the most highly specific request I think I ever got speaking anywhere. Speak about Brachos Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. So I realize that this is part of a program. Brachos Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, in its entirety, is about a Baal Keri, and whether a Baal Keri is allowed to learn Torah. So it's, when you see Brachos, you're like, oh, okay, I could give a shiur on that topic. Brachos Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph limits you a little bit, because it's all about someone who has the tumah of a Baal Keri. So I thought maybe we'll broaden it a little bit. It is definitely very much related, because what the Gemara talks about over there is if you have someone who's a Baal Keri, is he allowed to learn Torah? So there's a certain understanding that that tumah is sort of repels Kedusha, that there's some sort of issue of exposing oneself to Kedusha HaTorah when one is suffering through the tumah of, not suffering through, when one is experiencing the tumah of a Baal Keri. Now, just to be clear, a Baal Keri is any married person who's been with his wife before he goes to the mikveh is a Baal Keri. So that's a certain level of tumah that a person experiences. So I thought we'd broaden it a little bit. And instead of just talking about a Baal Keri, we'll talk about men going to the mikveh in general, and particularly men going to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos. I remember a number of years ago in DRS, the high school that I've been privileged to teach at for 18 years, we had a guest speaker of Mordechai Willig Shlita, who is the Rebbe of many of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva and the Rebbe of the Menahel HaYeshiva. And a little bit of background over here. DRS is in Woodmere. You experienced something here on Monday night, according to Twitter, with Rav Moshe Weinberger. And Rav Moshe Weinberger has taken Woodmere by storm and has sort of changed the character and the face of Woodmere a little bit, and has introduced new things to Woodmere that Woodmere previously didn't have. The most important thing that he introduced is the idea that people who are 40, 50, 60 years old can still grow in their Avodas Hashem, and in Torah learning, and in davening. And then he taught teenagers that they should still strive to grow in all of these areas. That's the most important thing. But he also introduced a lot of Hasidus to Woodmere, and now people took on, a whole bunch of people took on many Hasidic practices, including frequent visitation to the mikveh. So many Hasidic practices have somehow found their way into Woodmere. So against that backdrop, we had a question-answer session with Rav Mordechai Willig in DRS High School. A boy raises his hand and he asks Rav Mordechai Willig about what the best time of day on Friday, what's the best time of day to go to the mikveh is on an Erev Shabbos, when you go to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos. Of course, presupposing that Rav Willig thinks it's a good idea to go to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos. And Rav Willig dispelled that notion immediately and said, go to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos? Show me your Shulchan Aruch. Where does it say that you go to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos? He said, I have a Shulchan Aruch at home. You go to the mikveh on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur. That's all, not Erev Shabbos. So in my head, I always thought, once Rabbi Willig said that this is purely a Hasidish thing. This whole thing about going to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos is purely a Hasidish thing. But you look into it a little bit, it's not purely a Hasidish thing, so maybe we'll discuss where it comes from, where this idea comes from, and what the reason for it is, and maybe some of the details of this minhag. Now, it is true, Rabbi Willig obviously is 100% correct. It is not in Shas, and it is not in Shulchan Aruch. I'll go even a step further. Even though it's quoted by the Zohar in Parshas Truma, next week's Parsha, and it's quoted by the Arizal, the idea of going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, and typically when something is quoted by the Arizal as a proper minhag, and it's not against halacha, you'll very frequently find it on the page of Shulchan Aruch, quoted in the Magen Avraham. This minhag doesn't make it anywhere onto the page of Shulchan Aruch. The minhag of going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos is nowhere on the page of Shulchan Aruch. It's not quoted even in the Magen Avraham. So really, it doesn't seem to have made its way into halacha, but it has very strong sources in Torah Hanistar, in the Zohar and the Arizal. So why? What's the basis? Why would one go to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos? So one reason may relate to the amud that we're supposed to be discussing, that a Baal Keri can only purify himself from his Keri, or I shouldn't say only, that's a part of a discussion in the Gemara, but one surefire way for a Balkari to purify himself from his tumah is by going to the mikvah. So people over the course of a week might become a Balkari, and they'll go to the mikvah in order to purify themselves from tumas kari. And it's true, there was never such a takana in Chazal to do this on a weekly basis. There was a takanas Ezra to go to the mikvah every single time a person became a Balkari, right, before learning Torah, before doing anything that involved a certain level of Kedusha. But on a weekly basis, we don't find that there was such a thing, and particularly on Erev Shabbos. And we no longer observe Takanas Ezra because it became too difficult. You know, there were places in, you know, over here, I would imagine, and in large Jewish communities like this, it wouldn't be that difficult to arrange if there was major demand for it to have a mikvah that would be available for people to use. But there are places, and there have been times in history, where it was nearly impossible. You know, I was once talking to Rabbi Aaron Palm. Rabbi Aaron Palm is the son of Rav Avram Yaakov HaKohen Palm, and Rabbi Palm told me, you know, the story they say about Rav Moshe Feinstein and his children, that Rav Moshe Feinstein's children, there was a 4 or 5 year age gap between his younger daughter and his older son. He had two daughters, who were both older, than two sons who were both younger. So I think Rebbetzin Tendler was the younger of the two daughters. I think Rav David Feinstein is the older of the two sons, and there's like a 4 or 5 year age gap between them. So the story we were always told was that there was no mikvah in Luban, in Russia at the time. So for 4 or 5 years, they didn't have children because there was no mikvah. There's no mikvah for Rebbetzin Feinstein to use. So Rabbi Palm told me that that's not true, that there was a mikvah. It was an underground mikvah that they, well, I guess all mikvahs are underground, but you know what I mean. It was a like a hidden secret mikvah, and Ramosha was afraid of the following. He knew that if people in the community continue to have children, the communist government, they'll think, okay, we were successful. We've rid them of religion, and they continue to have children. And they're not observing Taras HaMashpacha. But if the rabbi and Rebbetzin have children, then they're going to realize that there must be a mikvah somewhere. They're going to look for it, they're going to find it, and they're going to shut it down. So Rav Moshe and his Rebbetzin took one for the team. For 4 or 5 years, they didn't use the mikvah because of the fear that it would be shut down. Now imagine living in a time like that. Now imagine that every single time you davened, you had to go to the mikvah. That would be impossible. So Takanas Ezra was unsustainable. So the suggestion is made that maybe we couldn't sustain Takanas Ezra. Throughout the generations, there have always been Yechidei Segula, special people who have tried to sustain Takanas Ezra to some degree, but maybe there is this minhag that developed to have it to a lesser degree. Once a week to go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, to be metahir oneself from Tumas Keri once a week. That's one possible reason for going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. There's another possible reason to go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. There are actually two more, but another possible one, and then we'll get to the real one, and that is that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Siman Reish Samech Sif Aleph, mitzvah lirchotz kol gufo. A person has to, in preparation for Shabbos, bathe one's entire body. If that's impossible, at least wash your hands, face, and feet with warm water. Be'erev Shabbos, u'mitzvah lachav harosh, and you should shampoo your hair on Erev Shabbos. And the Bir Halacha writes that it's dafka b'chamin, because that's what it sounds like from the Gemara, the dafka with hot water, with warm water. In fact, he says he's not even sure if lukewarm water is good enough. It could be that there's a hakpada on the degree, the temperature of the water. But certainly we do find that they were makpid about bathing the body on Erev Shabbos. And in fact, we have many Gemaras like this. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, a fairly well-known Gemara about Hillel was shampooing his hair on Erev Shabbos when someone came knocking at the door. Not going to get into the details right now, or the Gemara Maseches Beitzah on Daf Chaf Zayin on Beis, that they would chayif reishei in honor of Shabbos. So Shmuel Kamenetsky writes in his Sefer Kovetz Halachos, there's a wonderful sefer. It's a series of svarim called Kovetz Halachos. It could take up a whole bookshelf already. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky did not write the sefer. He has a Talmud, Rabbi Daniel Kleinman, who must have followed Rav Shmuel around and listened to his every sneeze and every word he ever said for years, because he has volumes of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's Piskei Halacha, and Rabbi Kleinman is a fine Talmud Chacham in his own right, so he gives the background in a very beautiful way. He presents the whole sugya before, you know, even if Rav Shmuel just said Aser, like he'll give you like 3 pages of the whole sugya, the Gemara, the Rishonim, where everything comes from. So Rabbi Kleinman points out in that sefer, in the Kovetz Halachos, that one is in fulfillment of this requirement of bathing by going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. That's a second, a cheap way out of having to take a shower, you know, so a yeshivish, way of preparing for Shabbos. I was talking to my son who's in yeshiva, and he said, I got a stain on my chorev zman pants. I said, I don't want to know what that means exactly, but it was explained to me that there was like a bet going on in yeshiva how long into the winter zman you could wear the same pair of pants. It's a good thing he's thousands of miles away while this is going on. I did not tell his mother. Then we have the third reason, and the real reason that people go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, and that is, it's quoted in the Yisod V'Shorash HaAvodah, Yelech L'Taher B'Mikvah L'Kovet Shabbos Kodesh V'Af Misha Omid B'Cheskas Tara. Even if someone is already tar, it's got nothing to do with being a Balkari, nothing to do with being Tame, you're already tar. Mitzvah Gedola Litbol B'Erev Shabbos Kodesh Ki Atvila B'Erev Shabbos Kodesh Moi L'Kabel Neshama Yisera. You want to receive the Neshama Yisera of Shabbos, the best way to do it is by going to the mikvah. Ubilti taras hamikvah bivadai lo yasigena. And without taras hamikvah, you're not going to be able to achieve neshama yaseira. Comes the chaye adam in zichru taras Moshe, and he writes, yachal adam lenasos. He says, do a test. Ki kasher yechavin adam es daito. When you focus, v'tia yiras Hashem belibo, and you have genuine fear of God, the emes, V'yu ma'isav ritzuyim as bevadei la'achar shetoval be'erev Shabbos bekavana ritzuy lekabel kedush Shabbos. Then you'll see that after you go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, yavin bedaito shenitosav lo neshama yaseira. You will intuitively sense that you've achieved the neshama yaseira. Now, what was amazing to me about this is that the author is the Chayi Adam. Chayi Adam used to always talk about in his sefer. He brags about his mechutin. He always says the mechutin this, the mechutin that. Who's the mechutin? Anyone know? The Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon wasn't actually his mechutin. It was that the Vilna Gaon's grandson was married to the Chayi Adam's daughter, or maybe it was Vilna Gaon's granddaughter to the Chayi Adam's son. But, you know, it was close enough that if I was that closely related to the Vilna Gaon, I'd call him my mechutin too, probably. So the Chayi Adam is not coming from a Hasidish angle over here, right? And he's just assuming that that's what people do. Kaf HaChayim amongst the Sfardim, also the Sfardim very often have many minhagim that are based on Kabbalah. Kaf HaChayim quotes from the Arizal as well, that dafka after you do Shnayim Mikra Vechatargum, that's a perfect time to go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. The Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Reish Samech quotes that Yesh Noagim, to go to the mikvah, Mipnei Kedusha Shabbos, and the Aruch HaShulchan then adds a comment. Okay, we know that there's a minhag. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, V'ashrei Chelkam, Debazem Mamshichem Aleim Shefa Kedusha Mishabbos Kodesh. It's a really wonderful thing because they are absorbing the Kedusha of Shabbos Kodesh. So this was eye-opening to me because this tells me that this is not purely it is based on obviously sources in Kabbalah, and the primary reason for it has nothing to do with Tumentara, with halachic categories that are easy for us to define. The primary reason for it seems to be about getting this extended Kedusha of Shabbos, or expanding the Kedusha of Shabbos. So is there any opposition to it? Would anyone say that, no, it's a bad thing, other than Moreno Rav Willig Shlita, who he just didn't like that people were taking on these new minhagim that weren't their father's father's minhag or the grandfather's minhag or anything else. So, which is a very fair opposition also, that we're a religion that relies heavily on Mesorah. So a person is going to just do new things that seem nice. Sometimes it is nice, sometimes it's not. A person needs a certain amount of hadracha. So the only opposition that I could really find is in the Siddur Yavetz. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in the Siddur Yavetz, he was opposed to a lot of things that happens to be. That was his personality. But in the Siddur Yavetz, he writes that from the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't sound like there was ever a minhag to do this. And he says, I don't understand. Why would you pick this up? He says, if you want to be makbid about Takanas Ezra and be tovel every time you become Valkari, that's great, that's wonderful, that's what you should pick up. But to do Dafka on Erev Shabbos, where does that come from? He says, there's no makor and shas for that, and therefore I don't understand. So he says, if you want to be makbid about going to the mikvah with Takanas Ezra every time you become a Valkari. So in the Sefer Nishma Shabbos is a multi-volume Sefer on Shailos Uchuvas, on Halacha, that just relates to Hilcha Shabbos. So he's got, I think, 7 volumes, or maybe 8 volumes now, of Shailos Uchuvas, questions, answers, purely on Hilcha Shabbos. It was written by the Satmar Dayan, Rav Harfinis, who's one of the Chashva Satmar Tamidei Chachamim in Williamsburg today. He happens to be very close with Rav Baruch Simon, who's one of the YU Rashi Yeshiva, and you don't often have that kind of shidduch where the Satmar Dayan and the YU Rosh Yeshiva hang out together. So Rabbi Simon likes to bring his Talmidim to Rabbi Harfinis, to other Talmidim also, but to Rabbi Harfinis, he loves Rabbi Harfinis. So Rabbi Harfinis has a number of beautiful svarim. He has svarim on Zmanim, he has svarim on Chinuch. He has very, very nice svarim. So in Rabbi Harfinis' Sefer, he often explains what seem like Hasidic practices that aren't really easily explained in the world of halacha, but he's the Dayan, he's the posek, so he works primarily within the world of halacha, and he explains things in a very clear way, and he says he doesn't understand what Rabbi Yaakov Emden is upset about, meaning it's what they call a straw man, right? He's saying, you want to be makbar in something, be makbar in Takanas Ezra. It's like saying, you want to be makbar in something, be makbar in Lashon Hara. Okay, so I'll be makbar in Lashon Hara, and I'll also go to the mikvah. Like, what does one have to do with the other? So, unless I'm perfect, I can't take on this minhag. They have nothing to do with each other. Takanas Ezra was batel already. Takanas Ezra was over. This is an entirely separate thing relating to Kedusha Shabbos that has nothing to do with Takanas Ezra. So he's not convinced by Rabbi Yaakov Emden's objection. So the question then is, okay, we have 3 possible reasons. Well, 2 of them, I guess, are reasons, and one of them is an additional kiyum from going to the mikvah, right? We have the one reason that we said that it is mitire a person from Tumas Keri. It does take care of Tumas Keri if a person is a Balkari. Then we have the other reason of bringing about Kedusha Shabbos to the point that you can sense your Neshama Yisera, the Neshama Yisera is there in a more real way. And then the additional benefit that it also counts, if the mikvah is warm, it also counts as bathing for Shabbos. So you get credit for bathing for Shabbos. So what's the nafkamina between those 2 reasons, whether it's to take care of Tumas Balkari or whether it's about adding extra Kedusha? So Yantif, is there no Neshama Yisera on Yantif? Right? So maybe it's Yantif, if you're single and you're not becoming a Balkari, right? So a number of the Nafkaminas. Nafkamina might also be, what if there's no mikvah around? Is there any value in going to a swimming pool? Right? Is there any value in taking a long shower? Because you learned in, for those who are doing the, I don't know who is and isn't doing the Amud, but in Brachos Daf Chaf Beis, it talks of Tisha's Kavin. That you have Tisha Kavin of Mayim She'uvin, pouring a certain amount of Mayim She'uvin over your body, and that will, over Rosh Ovarubo, will be mitire you from Tumas Keri, so we could achieve that Tahara. I don't know of any source that tells us that the additional Kedusha that you're looking for comes from anything but a mikvah. So if the reason is that you're worried about Tumas Keri, a long shower in the absence of a mikvah, or a swimming pool perhaps, in the absence of a kosher mikvah, would be just as good. But if, or not just as good, but it would also be beneficial. But if we're looking for this extra kedusha, it would not be necessarily beneficial. There's also discussion that may relate to this as to what the ideal time to go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. If one is going to take on this practice, the Zohar in Parshas Truma tells us that Rav Hamnuna Saba hayisalut minahara b'kal Erev Shabbos, but it doesn't say when. It doesn't say when he did it. Nevertheless, in Kaf HaChaim, he writes from the Arizal that it should be achar shehischil shaheim yom vav, after the fifth hour of Friday, because that's when Tosefes Shabbos is nikar umiskala b'meitzach ha'adam tekef achar ha'tvila. I don't know what any of this means, but the Arizal said that you could see it on someone's forehead if he had already gone to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, but specifically when it's getting close. If you do it too early in the morning, Shabbos isn't getting close yet, you're not going to be able to draw in that same sense of Kedusha.
Timing a little funny that the Talmud Chacham is supposed to be with his wife every Friday night.
Right, I was thinking this also. If it were about to miscarry, it's the worst time to go to the mikvah. The best time would be Shabbos morning, right, if we're about to miscarry. Because if you have such an inyan of onus Talmud Chacham, may Erev Shabbos la Erev Shabbos, that the Gemara Mesech Ksubas tells us that how frequently one is expected to fulfill the mitzvah of ona with one's wife, and the Gemara tells us it depends on what your profession is, that different people had different types of profession. Some people would travel for 6 months at a time, so their ona was once every 6 months, and some people were around all the time. And ona Talmud Chacham, the Gemara says there is a mitzvah to have mitzvahs ona, but at the same time that it's not appropriate for Talmidei Chacham to be mitzuyan etzel nashaseim ketar negolim, that Talmidei Chacham shouldn't constantly be with their wives. There has to be some level of moderation, but a healthy moderation. So what's suggested is may Erev Shabbos be Erev Shabbos. I just saw a study recently that they did a study of the happiest marriages, and they said roughly that frequency is the happiest of 4 times a month. They say the happiest marriages are 4 or 5 times a month. Interesting. So you know, when it works, you know, you go with it. When the psychologists say something that matches what the Torah Kadosh says, you're always it's always nice. It doesn't always work though. So.
Compelling. I mean, it could be that for too much care, but it's also nice to have a relationship when you know her, and that the start you knew, you know, your new.
That's what I'm saying. Meaning, I think that's what I'm saying. That if it's about Tumas Kari, then it's the worst time. If it's about Tosefes Kedusha, then it's the best time.
So even if it's Tumas Kari, it's still nice to come Tahari.
Are you any more Tahar the day after you go to the mikvah than you are 5 days after you go to the mikvah if you haven't become Balkari yet?
But it still makes this...
Meaning it's like, on the reverse side also, is the Gemara in Shabbos, for example, David Gimel, the Gemara has a story, a famous Tanda Be'Eliyahu. The Tanda Be'Eliyahu says that there was a woman whose husband died, whose husband was Kara Harbe, Shana Harbe, Tan Harbe, Shimishamid Cham Harbe, learned a lot of Torah, Umeis Pechatiyama. Right, and he died when he was 35 years old. Chatziyamav, we assume, is 35 because it used to be that life not life expectancy, but you know, if you live to a ripe old age, it used to be 70 was considered a ripe old age. Mishnosav Shal Adam is Shivim Shana, but nowadays Baruch Hashem with modern medicine, we expect to live longer, hopefully. But nevertheless, the Gemara says he died the Chatziyamav, so she would take his tefillin and take around from Beis Medrash to Beis Medrash, challenging the Talmidei Chachamim in each Beis Medrash. It says ki the Torah is supposed to be Arichus Yamim, Ba'ali Shekara, Harbe Vishana, Harbe Vishimishamicham, Harbe Ribne Mames Bechati Yamav. My husband did it all right. He learned all this Torah. Why did he die so young? Where's his Arichus Yamim? So what do you answer to Brachim Almano when she says something like that? So every Talmud Chacham was Mechavein to the right answer. Lo Haya Adam Machzi Rasa Davar. No one said anything. Because you don't know why. You don't answer questions like that. But you know who does know the answer to the question? Eliyahu Hanavi. So she, Tamid Bei Eliyahu, so it's Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi meets her. She goes through her whole spiel. She's like, oh, another rabbi, right? And she goes through her whole spiel to challenge. And Eliyahu Hanavi says, Biti, b'yimei nidosecha mahu etzlecha. When you're in Nida, how does your husband act toward you? So she said, chas v'sholm afilu v'etzba ketana lo nagabi. Doesn't touch me even with an etzba ketana. So he says, okay, b'yimei libunecha mahu etzlecha. What about during the Shiva Nekiyim? Meaning you haven't gone to the mikveh yet, but you're not bleeding anymore. Al achalimi shasa imi yashanimi bikiruv basar v'lo also dait al davar acher. Oh, we eat together. We drink together. We sleep in the same bed together. But lo also dait al davar acher. His mind never even goes to think about anything beyond that. Which, parenthetically, I think is only a woman would say that. Meaning she would believe that that's true, that his mind wouldn't go on to anything beyond that when the Yashin Bikir Vibasa. Okay, but that's... So what's the point? What's Eliyahu HaNavi doing? He's identifying that she made... the husband made... Oh, by the way, the end of the story, before I get off track, Eliyahu HaNavi says to her, Baruch HaMakom Shahargo Shelo Nasa Panam LaTorah. That Kodesh Baruch Hu should be blessed for killing him because he didn't listen to the Torah. The Torah says that Elisha bin Nidas Tumasa lo tikrav. You're not supposed to come close to your wife when she's a Nida, physically close. And he violated what it says in the Torah. He deserves what he got. That was Eliyahu HaNavi's response. Very harsh response. Wouldn't play well nowadays. That was Eliyahu HaNavi's response to the woman. There's actually Machlokes Achron, what it means, Shalo Nasa Panam LaTorah. Who was Lo Nasa Panam LaTorah? So Pasha Pshat is that the guy, the husband, he didn't pay attention to the Torah. Some Achronim explain that no, it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lo Nasa Panam LaTorah. He was blessing Hashem. Because as a teacher, I could tell you that you're willing to overlook a lot of warts in a Talmud when he learns well. That, you know, he could do a lot of things that are like irritating, but he learns well, and like, you know, there's just something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees it that way also. My Torah HaKadosh, here's a person who's Kara Harbe, Shana Harbe, Shimshon Echam Harbe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can, you know, he can forgive a few things maybe. But Baruch HaMakom Shahargo, Shalom HaZadar, Hashem wasn't swayed. But what did Eliyahu HaNavi identify? He identified a fundamental mistake, that people think that there's a higher degree of Tumah when she's bleeding than when she's almost at the mikveh. And the reality is, all of the archaks, Shulchan Aruch makes a point of saying this in Hilchos Nida, all of the archaks apply up until she's also mitvilasa, until she comes out of the mikveh. Even though she's at the, you know how like some people have the attitude about Shabbos, that like Shabbos starts off strong and then it slowly wanes for the rest of the day? Like I remember in camp, as a kid in camp, like on Friday night, everyone put on a tie and a jacket, like everyone came to shul, and then Shabbos day, the jacket was definitely off, the tie was still on. Shabbos afternoon by mincha, then we're ready, then it was like, it was kechol shavior rabbanon, you know, we treated it like a weekday, like people had this attitude, like, ah, it's almost out. So Eliyahu HaNavi realized that, and that's what he called her out on. And the same is true with Tahara. You're no more Tahar right after you go to the mikveh than you are three days later. So I don't think that's a long way of answering that question. But I don't think you're any... Okay. I don't think you're any more Tahar in terms of that. But as far as Tosefes Kedusha and approaching the mitzvah sona with a sense of Kedusha, so then, yeah, then that might be a very, very viable nafkamina. I was always troubled, you know, the Chayei Adam, and many of the Poskim Mishbura, I think, quoted from the Chayei Adam, in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, talk about, like, the ideal time to go to the mikvah Erev Rosh Hashanah, and it's such a strange time. It's the hour before Chatzos. Like, that's the ideal time to go to the mikvah, a half hour before Chatzos, something like that. Right? Well, and they talk about it over here also. I'm not really sure exactly what that's about, but Kabbalistically, in some way, that's where the Kedusha of the day is somehow going to get started. The Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't understand. Zriz makdim lemitzvos, so you should do teka fumiyad. What would you expect him to say? If Zriz makdim lemitzvos, teka fumiyad in the morning, achar Chatzos. So the indication that you get from all of this is that it's not like regular Shabbos preparations. Regular Shabbos preparations start Friday morning, right? Even early in the morning, and that's all part of Hachanah LaShabbos. This is almost like a Kabbalah Shabbos. Not quite a Kabbalah Shabbos, although there were those who said not to do Malacha after going to the Mikvah on Erev Shabbos. So almost like a Kabbalah Shabbos, where you're receiving that Neshama Yisera, and with receiving that Neshama Yisera, a person is Bivchinas Shabbos, whatever that means, whatever that might mean. Whatever that might mean. So that is also probably a nafkamina, meaning if it's about Tumas Keri, certainly, whenever the better thing to do would be before Shachris, at least be Mekayim, Takana Sezer, B'miktas, so before you daven. But if it's about, and if it's about hachana l'Shabbos, about just preparing for Shabbos, like making the chalent and sweeping the floor and doing all the things that the Gemara in Shabbos says that the holy Tanaim and Amoraim used to do on Erev Shabbos. Rapam's grandson told me, Davin's my shul, that's why I have, you know, these Rapam stories. Rapam's grandson told me that that his Zaidi used to make a potato kugel every Erev Shabbos. Not that his Bubby wasn't willing to cook, but the Gemara tells us that the holy Tanaim and Amoraim used to do things like this in Erev Shabbos, to actively participate in the Hachanos for Shabbos. So if that's what it's about, that starts Friday morning. But when it's about this Tosefes Kedusha and almost receiving Shabbos, so that only maybe begins around Chatzos, maybe a little before, maybe a little after.
Is that your Thomas and ask the Chayadim or the Shulchan, would they say that also applies to Erev Shabbos, or that time when
you go to Mikvah they say it in the, the Chayyadim and the Mishmurim, they talk about it on Rosh Hashanah Erev Yom Kippur. But I don't know. There are reports that the Chavetz Chaim used to go to the Mikvah every Erev Shabbos again. Not in Mishmurim, but there are reports that he used to go to the Mikvah from Gedolim who lived around the same time, just Masiach Lefitumah, just talking about like what his Erev Shabbos schedule was. And they report, yeah, when he came back from the mikvah, that's when, I think they talk about whether he did Shnayim Mikra before or after, because L'chachila, Shnayim Mikra is supposed to be done dafka on Erev Shabbos. Okay, it's a little much to demand. Parshas Mishpatim, I mean, you read all those Rashis, it's a little much to do it all on Erev Shabbos. My rule as a rabbi, whenever I get shailas about Shnayim Mikra, Suffix Shnayim Mikra Lekula. Whenever there's any question about Shnayim Mikra, always make it. Because I find that if you're machmir, people will find it overwhelming, too difficult to do, and then they won't do it. So in order to encourage actually doing Shnayim Mikra, whatever your shaila is, can I use this commentary, that kind of, yeah, whatever, it's all good. Can I be Yotze if I listen one time during Kriyas HaTorah and read along, so I just want to, yeah, all good to do Shnayim Mikra. But really, the ideal time is on Erev Shabbos. I think more of Rabbi Shecht is makhted to do with Dafka on Erev Shabbos. I remember once he came to North Woodmere, where I live, and he was staying by my sister's house. My sister lives there too, and she has nicer guest accommodations than I do. And it happened to be on Erev Shabbos, my sister had a blackout, no electricity. So she was mortified, because Rabbi and Rabbi Shecht are there, and, you know, Rabbi Shecht had some opinions, I think. So she was wonderful. She was just helping out, you know, because she's a doer. So I came to the house to see that everything's okay, and I see Rav Shechter by a window like this with a chumash, you know, trying to do Shnayim Mikra Vechatarim. So yeah, Shnayim Mikra Vechatarim, there's a discussion whether that should dafka be done before, meaning is the going of the mikvah the final touch, or is the Shnayim Mikra Vechatarim the final touch? So that may be an afkamina in this discussion as well. There's also, it also might be enough to mean in this discussion, the Ramah writes in Simon Reish Aleph, in Yerodeya, when he talks about women going to the mikveh, the Ramah writes that Yesh Osrim, that a Nida shouldn't bathe after going to the mikveh, after using the mikveh, because of the Gzeres Merchatzos that appears in Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel. Again, Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel, a different part of the Gemara over there, but because of the Gzeres Merchatzos. What's the Gzeres Merchatzos? People are going to see, you ever go to like a real Hamish mikvah, like, you know, not like one of these fancy ones, you know, like a looks like I don't know, like avocado soup or something, you know, like a person is going to go and he's going to dip in such a mikvah, and then he's going to come out and he's going to take a shower, and someone will say, "Oh, what just happened over there?" And you'll say, "That person purified himself." So what would you imagine? Which part purified him? So you would imagine it wasn't the avocado smoothie that purified him, right? In the stomach, it was the clean water afterwards that purified him. So because people might make a mistake that's what actually purifies you, so they made a gzera that you don't bathe after going to the mikvah. Shema yomru shalo a mikvah mitar ela merchatz is mitaher. By Tfilas Nida, there's actually a discussion when that ends. Like, okay, so she's not allowed to bathe after going to the mikveh. So when can she? Right? Meaning, is it later that night? Is it as soon as she gets home? Is it when she sees her husband? There are opinions in poskim across the board. It's strange that that was never made clear, meaning the achronim are debating it. I mean, it was never really made clear in the early halachic literature. Is it when she touches her husband, when after Tashmish Amita, Rav Moshe was machmir lechachila that she has to wait till the next morning to bathe, because she went to the mikveh that night, she's got to wait till the next morning. So this... Right. Nowadays, it's done in the privacy of your own home. There's no Beis HaMerchatz. Yeah, there's no... Right. So some poskim say like that, that it used to be that it means don't take a shower at the mikveh, because at the mikveh, it's a public place. I mean, it's not so public, hopefully, but it's... Right, but now you're going to go back to your house and you take a shower in the privacy of your own home. So that's what many poskim say like that also. There are opinions across the board. Yeah, well, I don't know if it was always like that. You know, we're very fortunate to be able to build beautiful mikvahs for people to use. In the Sefer Yisod B'Shorash HaAvodah, you bring down an Erev Shabbos after Tevila, you should dafka be rochetz b'chamin. You should dafka take a shower after Tevila on Erev Shabbos. And matov, if it's not just pranav yadav raglav, but it's kol gufo, your entire body. So he wasn't worried about this hakpada that we have by a tevila of a woman of not bathing afterwards. Why not? Why aren't we concerned that people are going to say it's not the mikveh that's mitaher, but it's the bath that's mitaher? Probably because it's not about tahara at all. The whole issue is not about tahara. What's it about? This tosefes kedusha and being makabel, this the approaching Shabbos with the attitude that you're excited for and eager to receive that neshama yaseira. And part of that is the bathing that a person does in advance of Shabbos as well, is the shaving and the showering and everything that a person does in advance of Shabbos. There are a number of other issues that might be enough to me. I just wanted to mention one other thing before we daven Maariv. I see we're running out of time a little bit. And that is, there's a fascinating discussion in Poskim, amongst Hasidic Poskim, because, let's be honest, this has become very popular in the Hasidic world. In the literature world, it's not such a popular practice. Fascinating discussion amongst Hasidic poskim about what age to be mechanich children to go to the mikveh. Meaning, if this is an inyan that a person is supposed to do, so how would you be mechanich a child to go to the mikveh? So when dad goes to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos, he'd bring his child with him. But there's a problem with that. What's the problem with dad bringing the child with him when he goes to the mikveh? He's not allowed to see his father undressed. The Rama passes this in Ibn Ezra Simon Chav Gimel, based on the Gemara Psachim Daf Nun Aleph, that you're not a father and son, or even father-in-law and son-in-law, are not allowed to be undressed in front of each other. You're not allowed to go to the Beis Tfilah, Beis HaMerchatz, together. So the Hasidic poskim struggle with this. In Rav Harfin is a sefer, in Nishma Shabbos, in Chelik Aleph, Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph, he quotes four different studim lahakel of why it might be okay. One is a very interesting one. One of the Stadim Lahakal, he says, is what's the reason for it? That if a father and son are not allowed to, or a father-in-law and son-in-law, he says, because we're afraid of the kinds of hirhurim, of unhealthy hirhurim that the son will have. But if it's a little kid, he's not holding by having such hirhurim, so it's not a problem. It's not a violation of your responsibility of chinuch if he's not going to be subject to the thoughts that we're worried about. Right, that's what he suggests. That is probably, whether that's an accurate cheshbon, is probably machlokas Magen Avram and Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Lulav. Where did I pull that one from? I didn't. Rav Moshe Feinstein did. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked by a school in Detroit whether they should, at what age they should separate the boys and the girls' classes. And Rav Moshe Feinstein said, it's a machlokas Magen Avram and Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Lulav, as only Rav Moshe Feinstein can say. What's the machlokas? Magen Avram writes that if a father is holding the lulav together with his child, but never actually makne it to the child, so it never actually belongs to the child, the father is holding it with him and is never makne it to the child, he is not being mekayim the mitzvah of chinuch. Because if you want to be mekayim the mitzvah of lulav, it needs to be lachem on the first day. You need to own it. And the kid isn't owning it, so it's not a mitzvah of chinuch. Mishnah Brura says, sure it is. Because he's going to remember that he took lulav. You think he's holding? The seven-year-old is thinking about, is it lachem? Is it not lachem? It's all about training him for these kinds of behaviors. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, it would turn out that in areas of tznius where a child is not yet of age to understand or even to have a yetzer hara for these things, Magen Avraham would be lekula and the Mishnah Berurah would be lechumra. Because the Mishnah Berurah says, I'm worried, what I'm looking at is what's he going to remember when he's looking back as an adult? Oh, that's the behavior I used to do. That's the practice we used to have. And then he's going to do that same practice. So he may not have had a yetzer hara when he was 7, but when he's 17, he sure has a yetzer hara. Whereas the Magen Avraham is going to say, no, if an adult didn't have a yetzer hara, then he would be allowed to do this as well. It happens to be most adults do have a yetzer hara. So you look at him at Vasharusham as he is right now. It happens to be Rav Harfenis in a very important comment. He writes, I assume in the Hasidic world, after going through why it should be mutter for a father to bring a son, he says, but don't you dare ever send your son without the father. And he says, and better not to send the son, not to send the child to the mikvah at all on Erev Shabbos. He says, "Bizman hazeh sharabu amcholos b'meshay yiladim holchin levadon b'mikvos." The terrible things that come out. Chova ala avlios nochach. You have to be there if you're the father. But yishtadel kol ma sheyachol shabalav yeshu b'tzad acher shalom mikvah oyakdim at. And he says, "But mutav shebichlal lo yaviim lebeis hatvila." Better yet, don't bring them at all. The whole thing is a midas chasidus al piyaz zohar. The 9-year-old doesn't have to worry about the zohar yet. Let him worry about it when he gets a little bit older. So I'm not sure if this year is exactly what you had in mind, but it relates somewhat to Brachos Dav Chafez, and I appreciate the opportunity to share Torah again.